from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, California's stunning unemployment numbers, adding up to a million claims in less than 2 weeks, are worse than the peak of the Great Recession. We look at what the employment figures mean for the state's economy and take your questions about unemployment benefits. Then we talk about the most promising drug treatments for COVID-19, according to the World Health Organization, which has launched a multinational clinical trial. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. More than 3 million people across the country filed for unemployment benefits in the past week, the most in U.S. history. In California, more than 1 million claims were filed in less than 2 weeks. In this opening half-hour of Forum, we look at what the massive drop in employment means for the state's economy and take your questions about what state and federal benefits are available to Californians who are out of work. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. Joining us is Julia Parrish, Senior Staff Attorney at Legal Aid at Work. Hi, Julia Parrish.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Also with us is Judy Lin, Economy Reporter for CalMatters. Hi, Judy Lin.
Good to be with you.
So, Judy, Governor Newsom has suggested that the state can weather this economic storm, and I want to know what you think. I mean, what's our budget situation?
So, you know, during the Great Recession under Jerry Brown, they did a good job putting away money into a rainy day fund, and there's about $20 billion in there for that. And earlier we had projected we could weather mild recessions. But keep in mind, this is not a mild thing that's happening. Economists we're talking to are telling us it's going to be worse than the Great Recession. And so everything is on hold. And the governor has already gone ahead and said, stop, we're not going to move forward with a new budget. We're going to hold last year's budget in place and work off of that. And we're going to already start tapping some of those emergency funds. And he's already moved about $1 billion from one of the smaller pots of money. So already he's hitting the brakes in response to what's happening.
And put in context for us, Judy Lin, the incredible number of unemployment claims, especially in contrast to the Great Recession.
Yeah. So just last week, EDD reported 186,809 unemployment claims. That is staggering. That broke the prior record in January 2010 of 115,000 claims. These are weekly numbers. So, and cumulatively, as you pointed out, Newsom said in the past 12 days, we've already seen more than 1 million unemployment claims filed. So these numbers are just record-breaking and staggering. And so while we, just a month ago had an unemployment rate of 3.9%, we'll easily shoot past 12% during the height of the Great Recession.
And we've heard the LAO, Julia Parrish, say that this surge in claims is going to present challenges for the state, for the Employment Development Department. I mean, what are you hearing in terms of people trying to file or getting questions answered about filing?
It's very difficult for people. And, you know, we talk about these sort of massive numbers, and each of those numbers is a person with a family and rent to pay, and they are really scared because they don't know if or when they'll be able to get the benefits. And the EDD, the agency that administers unemployment and other paid benefit programs for the state of California, is really overwhelmed and is facing a volume of claims they never have before. So it's uncertain when they'll be able to actually pay out the benefits, even if folks are entitled to them.
Yes, I remember when we last talked, we actually did have Lori Levy of EDD on, who was able to join us briefly at the top, and she was saying that it would take a few weeks. We also heard her be a little more specific recently and say that it takes about 3 weeks from the time a person files a claim to when they receive a payment. Judy Lynn, do you have any sense if that's panning out?
We don't know. So the LAO has put out a report basically warning that the state system is unprepared for this massive tidal wave that's coming, that's hitting them right now. Obviously, the state is also hampered by people having to work remotely. They're doing they're moving around people to make sure they can work safely. That's another complication. And so, yeah, we don't know. We are hearing from workers trying to get their claims processed, and they're very anxious. You know, rent's coming due. We don't know that this is how long the delay will be. The governor did waive that 1 week waiver, but as Lori pointed out, it's still 3 weeks from the time you file till you might get that bank card that you use to give you the unemployment benefit.
And Julia Parrish, the weekly checks can be up to $450 a week. Is there any chance that the state would change or increase that benefit in the near future?
Yeah, $450 simply is not enough to make ends meet. And actually, the CARES Act, Coronavirus Aid, Relief, Economic and Security Act, which is being considered by the House today at the federal level, would increase unemployment benefits by $600 a week if and when it passes. It has passed the Senate and is sort of working its way through the process. And that is really a recognition that asking people to survive on traditional unemployment amounts is an impossible ask. And it really is, it will be a lifeline for a lot of folks, but it also points out that the system that exists is not good enough. And we really need to be making stronger protections for people who face a loss of work through no fault of their own, which is exactly what the unemployment insurance system is.
And as you said, that stimulus bill is right now being debated on the House floor. There's a vote expected shortly. And, you know, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has described it as certain to pass the House. So we shall see. But one of the things that I heard about it, Julia Parrish, is that gig workers and folks who are self-employed, part-time workers, are included in terms of unemployment insurance to some extent. Can you give us the details on that?
Yeah, traditionally, unemployment insurance is only available to people who are employees, which is something we talked about previously. And it's a really important distinction between an independent contractor and an employee, because essentially all benefits and rights are tied to being that employee status. And that traditionally includes unemployment insurance. And the federal bill that's being considered would have provisions in it to allow independent contractors or freelancers or gig workers to access the same type of unemployment insurance benefits that sort of regular traditional employees would.
Well, we've got a lot of questions coming in, and I'm going to start with Joan, who asks, how will contractors get federal unemployment benefits? Will contractors apply through EDD or some other method?
Yes, application process is, if it passes it for they're calling it the pandemic unemployment assistance, it would be similar to applying for unemployment insurance through the EDD here in California.
And let me go to Charles in Berkeley. Hi, Charles, join us.
Hi. I was wondering what folks are expected to do who were employed and are now getting laid off. I'm unemployed, and a few of my friends just this week lost their jobs, and I'm wondering what people are expected to do to continue their health care coverage in this gap between when unemployment benefits start kicking in, particularly with, you know, maybe needing to get hospitalized if you contract COVID.
Health benefits, Julia Parrish.
Yeah, it's really it's a difficult question, and a lot of these benefits, except for unemployment, depend on being tied to your workplace. So one way to ensure the continuation of health benefits is to try to get people to qualify for job protected leaves of absence under the federal law, the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA. There are some provisions that were passed last week to help protect people's jobs who need to not go to work to care for their children if schools are closed, and there are some expansions to those protections also being considered. The reason that that's important is because it does continue health insurance benefits. The other thing is that if you are terminated, you know, there are rights to COBRA and CalCOBRA, which is a continuation of insurance, but the person who lost their job has to pay the portion of the premium, and there are some time frames in which you have to do that and sign up. But it is a really precarious situation for people. And unemployment insurance doesn't typically come with the provision of health insurance. It's really traditionally a wage replacement program just to get people some money.
Well, Judy Lynn, Governor Newsom was saying that it was incumbent on House and Senate leaders to send states like California block grants to deal with the draw on the unemployment funds. Do you know what California will get from the Fed bill?
At last count, they were still calculating how much we'll get. Generally, a good rule of thumb is we get about 10-12% just based on off our population numbers. So it should be a significant infusion. The unemployment is problematic, but even before this happened, you know, the benefits were increased, but the payroll taxes that employers and employees were contributing into it weren't keeping up. And so we saw four times the feds had to provide cash infusions to California's unemployment system during the recession. So this is this forthcoming stimulus package is much needed, there we might need more help.
Yeah, one of the figures I saw was $10 billion from a block grant portion of the stimulus bill. So we shall see. But let me go to more calls and go to Joan next. Joan in Larkspur, join us.
Good morning. Thank you. My question is, if I apply for unemployment in the state of California, will that possibly have an impact on the cash payments, the direct to individuals that are anticipated from the stimulus program?
Joan, thanks. Good question. Julia Parrish, those $1,200 cash payments for most adults, what if you file for unemployment?
You know, I don't know what the interaction between those and unemployment would be because it's a difference. It's not part of the unemployment code. Typically, if you're receiving wages, you have to report that, but there are some changes to that in the emergency provisions. And my understanding is that the stimulus package money isn't considered wages.
Yeah, my sense is that it's tied to your income from 2019 or 2018 as well, Joan. But thanks for the question. Appreciate it. Let me go next to Robin in Sonoma. Hi, Robin.
Good morning. I am right now on a reduced salary, and my employer, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to retain my job, but my employer has asked me to hold off applying for unemployment because of this provision in the new law that says if small businesses retain their employees, they'll be eligible for loans or grants. So if I don't apply now, is it retroactive later? And also, if I do apply, can one apply for unemployment for a reduced salary and she could still qualify for that loan? Does that make sense?
It's an interesting question, Robin. Julia Parrish.
The unemployment claims are not retroactive. I mean, they're retroactive to the Sunday before you apply, but not further than that. And workers can apply for unemployment benefits based on reduced schedules and workloads. There are some options for employers to do work share programs if they're reducing their workforce to try to sort of minimize layoffs by sort of having mass reductions, moving large groups of people to part-time or work share arrangements, and they have to maintain health insurance benefits, and there's other requirements around that in order to qualify for the EDD's definition of a workshare program.
But is it okay for an employer to ask an employee to do that, especially if maybe they could benefit more from unemployment?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me about that part of the question. It's your right to apply for unemployment, and employers, you know, the decision to grant you unemployment does not belong to the employer. It belongs to the state of California. And so if you are entitled to unemployment because you are missing income, you are of course, you should apply if you want to, and your employer shouldn't interfere with your right to do so. I also wanted to mention that at Legal Aid at Work, we have a free helpline that people can call with individual questions, and we have a lot of information on our website that tries to address many of these issues for people if folks need to follow up.
And thanks, Julia. And again, Julia Parrish, a senior staff attorney at Legal Aid at Work. We also have Judy Lin with us, an economy reporter for Cal Matters, and you, our listeners. Tell us, have you lost work due to coronavirus? Do you have questions about what aid might be available to you? Are you a small business owner? We want to hear from you at 866-733-6786. They're with us for this opening half hour, so the time to call with questions is now. You can also email your questions to forum at kqed.org or post them on Twitter and Facebook. And Gary tweets, the EDD is a nightmare to access, and they only allow you to file during specific hours. I have to file for 2 weeks and have no idea where the next step is. Heather writes, I've been receiving unemployment benefits over the last 10 months since being laid off in May of 2019. My benefits ran out 2 weeks ago, and I've since been cobbling together some part-time and contract work to make ends meet. Now I lost that work and am unable to reopen my claim or file a new claim until the calendar year rolls over at the end of May. What can I do? Julia Parrish, even in Heather's situation, especially if she lost work due to COVID-19?
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear about all of this. And, you know, people are having a really difficult time. One thing that the federal bill does, again, that's not signed yet, but is allow people in Heather's situation who have sort of exhausted their state unemployment insurance options to get additional weeks of unemployment. So typically there's a limit on the number of weeks you can get, but the federal bill would extend that by an extra 13 weeks. And also the unemployment benefits are based on your loss of your most recent employment. So even if you had recently started a job and hadn't been there very long, and you lost it because of no fault of your own, that can trigger a new claim. And there's also a provision in the federal bill that they're considering that would allow for people who were planning on starting a new job very soon, and that has either been delayed or the offer has been rescinded, to get unemployment insurance.
Well, Robert writes, I own a small business but have no employees. Will the stimulus package offer money to my business so I can pay myself a salary, or should I apply for unemployment benefits or both? What do you think, Julia?
I'm not 100% sure, but as somebody who owns a business, you're considered a lot like an independent contractor. That's the definition of independent contractor. So if you are losing money because of COVID, then it is possible that you would be eligible for the new protections under the federal bill. But Judy might have more
and
to
thanks.
Add to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Judy, do you have any more to add to that?
No, that's what I would recommend, too. That's a tough one, because just not having employees means that you are a freelancer. You're an independent contractor. So I would start with EDD, but the state is recommending you go to either covid19.ca.gov as a place to start with a lot of your financial questions about COVID-19 and how it's impacting you. EDD itself has its own website, of course. It's edd.ca.gov. And so they are encouraging everyone to go start there and see where they fall, and they'll try to direct them to the right place.
And Jenny,
let me go now to, yes, Julia Parrish.
Okay, if you're not sure whether you qualify, the best advice is to apply and try, because even within the new provisions, there's a little bit of uncertainty. So it's worth a shot to see if you can get those benefits.
Well, let me go to Carl in San Francisco next. Hi, Carl.
Hello. So my question is about property tax deadline of April 10th, and each county seems to be giving very mixed messages as to what you can and cannot do to delay or not pay your property taxes if you don't have the money without penalty. Do you have any new information about that?
Thanks. Judy Lynn, property taxes?
Yeah, that's been a sticky one of many issues that have been cropping up, and it remains unanswered. I'm sorry, I don't have good news for you yet. It's the counties, Newsom has directed the counties and local governments to start acting and responding to get people relief. He already did so, asking the banks to give homeowners a 90-day grace period to paying their mortgages, you know, not to foreclose on homeowners, not to report their credit scores. He's asking local governments to take action, as in doing these kinds of things, as in delaying property taxes. You know, at the state level, we're already going to push back our income tax deadline from April 15th to July 15th. So there are things happening, but that one, it hasn't happened yet. Another thing that hasn't happened yet is help for renters. You know, local governments are directed to act and give, you know, perhaps ban evictions, but that hasn't happened yet. So there are still things being worked out, and I suspect there'll be enough pressure to get some relief, but there's no word yet on delaying property taxes.
Well, let me see if I can get Esther in here. Hi, Esther in Sebastopol. What's your question?
Hi, I am a freelance photo stylist. I work in the commercial photo industry. Our industry has been halted immediately because of COVID, because we can't go to photo shoots to work, and none of us can really work from home. Obviously, we're hoping that the federal relief bill will provide some unemployment benefits to people like us, freelancers and self-employed. But freelancers are warning each other heavily to not apply, because apparently in the past, EDD has used records of 1099 payers to audit them because they believe they should be paying people on W-2. This is the heart of the issue of AB-5, which came into effect January 1st of this year and has already really hurt our industry. So we're already hurt because of AB-5. Now we're hurting because we can't work at all, and people are telling us not to apply for unemployment. So just wondering if there's any input your panel can give.
Sure, Julia Parrish, we have just about 30 seconds, but thoughts for Esther.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know what the EDD plans to do with the applications, but the only way to get benefits is to apply to the EDD. And again, the determination about whether someone is an independent contractor or not is actually something that the agency makes. It's not up to the employer or contracting agency. So, it's a little bit of a gray area, but the way to get benefits, if you are an independent contractor or if you have been misclassified, is to apply to the EDD.
Lots of questions. Well, Julia Parrish of Legal Aid at Work and Judy Lynn of CalMatters, thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us for more Forum.